We read the Holy Scriptures together tonight in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 10. My text tonight is the 11th verse of this chapter, and we'll read through verse 18. The Word of God at John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he calleth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There ends our reading of God's Word tonight. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of the Holy Scripture. I direct your attention to the Word of Christ in verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In this passage, the Lord Jesus uses two very closely related figures to describe himself and his saving work on behalf of the people of God. He describes himself in this chapter as the door of the sheep, and he describes himself as the good shepherd. Both figures have to do with sheep and with the work of shepherds in Jesus' day. First, Jesus is the door of the sheep. That is, he is the door through which the sheep enter into the safety of the sheepfold. And he is also the door through which they leave the sheepfold every morning in order with their shepherd guiding them to find pasture and water for the day. This is the figure in the earlier part of the chapter, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. But besides being the door of the sheep, Jesus is also the good shepherd of the sheep who lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. And it is that second figure that our text is concerned with. Jesus, according to the text, is the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, Jesus is the one who gives his life for the sheep. I call your attention tonight to the good shepherd. Let's notice three things together. First of all, the giving of his life. Secondly, that he gives his life for the sheep. And finally, let's notice the benefit of his giving of his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, first of all, because of his inherent goodness. He is the good shepherd because of the goodness within himself as the Son of God, one with God, the Holy God. He is the good sheep because he is God himself. He has declared that in this passage. This is his unmistakable teaching. He has declared himself to be the door of the sheep. And in our text, the good shepherd. There is no other door, and there is no one else who is a shepherd like he is the good shepherd. He alone is the one to whom the porter openeth so that his sheep may hear his voice and so that they will follow him. He is the one to whom they give heed, whom they trust for food and for water. It is his voice that they obey. No other voice than his. By me, he has said in verse 9, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Clearly, by me alone, if a man enter in, he shall be saved. There is salvation in no one else than in Jesus, who is the good shepherd. As the Father knoweth me, he has said, even so know I the Father. Verse 15, that describes the altogether unique relationship that Jesus has with God the Father, that is, with God triune. And in verse 30, later in the chapter, he says, I and my Father are one, essentially one. Jesus is the Son of God, and as the Son of God, he is God himself. He is one in being with the triune God. He shares in God's being and in God's virtues or perfections, including his goodness. Because he is the divine Son of God, Jesus is the good shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd not only because of who he is in himself, and not only on account of the unique relationship that he has with God, his Father, but Jesus is the good shepherd also because of his relationship to us, his relationship to his sheep. Because of his goodness to the sheep, the goodness that he manifests towards the sheep, he is the good shepherd. And because that good is the highest good, the greatest good conceivable, the great good of salvation itself, he alone is the good shepherd of the sheep. As the good shepherd, Jesus distinguishes himself from all the false and faithless shepherds. He stands in a unique relationship to his sheep. He distinguishes himself, first of all, from the thieves and the robbers. They are the enemies of the sheep. They have no interest in the good of the sheep, their well-being. Instead, they are interested in using the sheep for themselves, their own good, as they conceive of that good. They come in order to steal away the sheep. They come to kill the sheep. They come in order to destroy them. That's what Jesus teaches in the verse immediately preceding our text, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. As the good shepherd, Jesus also distinguishes himself from the faithless shepherds, from the false shepherds. He refers to them in the passage as the hirelings. Verses 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Jesus has in mind here, especially, the false shepherds of his own day. He has in mind the scribes, and the Pharisees, and the priests and chief priests. He has in mind those whose calling it was to be shepherds to God's people, to guide them, to defend them, to care for them, but who instead use their office as shepherds for themselves rather than to be interested in the welfare of the sheep. They use the sheep for their own advantage and advancement. They held their office as shepherds, under shepherds, those who were called to be pastors to God's sheep, without any love for the sheep themselves. Like the thieves and robbers, they were not interested in the good of the sheep. They were not good shepherds, but they were evil shepherds. They were, in fact, no real and spiritual shepherds to the sheep of God. In every age, there are such false and faithless shepherds who lead the sheep astray, who seek their own advantage, using the sheep for themselves. In distinction from them, Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep. He has the good of the sheep always in mind. He's interested in their spiritual good. He's interested in defending them, even to the point of laying down his own life on behalf of the sheep, which is exactly what he did. Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep because he carries out the duty that comes to a sheep. The duty that comes to the shepherd, rather. The duty that comes to the shepherd is the care of the sheep, providing for them and defending them. Those are the two great offices of the shepherd, and Christ does them both. He does both of them by laying down his life for the sheep. His giving of his life for the sheep is his provision for them, his eternal provision for them. And at the same time, his laying down of his life is his protection of his sheep, his protection of them against their enemies, enemies far worse than the lion, the wolf, and the bear, the enemy of Satan, of hell, of death, and everlasting damnation. In giving of his own life, therefore, Jesus shows himself to be the good shepherd, the one shepherd who has the eternal good of his sheep in view. Jesus gave his life for the sheep on the cross. That's in view in the text. Jesus is speaking prophetically in the text. Jesus is looking ahead in the text to what his great work as the good shepherd will be, the reason on account of which God has sent him to be the shepherd of his sheep. Jesus is speaking ultimately in the text of his laying down of his life on the cross of Calvary. There on the cross, we must see Jesus as the shepherd of his sheep. There on the cross, we must behold Jesus doing the work of a faithful and a good shepherd. The cross is the evidence that he is the good shepherd of the sheep. And beyond all doubt, his laying down of his life on the cross shows his love for the sheep and his interest in the good of the sheep. In connection with Jesus' giving of his life, a couple of important truths come out in the text. In the first place, his giving of his life underscores his love for the sheep. That especially is what distinguishes Christ from the false and faithless shepherds. Although the text does not make specific reference to the love of the good shepherd, this is clearly implied in the text. It is especially implied when Jesus teaches, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep freely." Willingly, Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. His life is not taken from him. He is not forced to lay down his life. He says in verse 18, "No man taketh it, my life, from me, but I lay it down of myself." Willingly, he sacrifices himself for the safety of his sheep. Willingly, he stands between the sheep and certain death at the hands of their enemies. That he does, that he gives himself and gives his life freely for the sheep underscores the love that he has that motivates him to do so. And then that he gives his life for the sheep. Not gold or silver, not $1 million, but he makes the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of the sheep, his own life. He lays down his own life for the sheep. And more than that, he lays down his life to the worst possible death. He lays down his life to the death of the cross. He lays down his life in order to experience the wrath and the judgment of God, which is the agony of hell, death under the curse of God. Only his love for the sheep could motivate him to do that. In the end, this is what distinguishes Jesus as the Good Shepherd. This is what distinguishes him from all their enemies, the wolves and the bears. This is what distinguishes him from the hirelings, the false, and the faithless shepherds. Jesus loves his sheep. And that, by the grace of God, is what distinguishes the under-shepherds of the great Good Shepherd. In every age, many of whom have laid down their lives too on behalf of Jesus' sheep. What distinguishes the faithful office bearer, be he pastor, elder, or deacon, is not his devotion to his work, is not his carrying out every aspect of his duty as a pastor, an elder, or a deacon. But what distinguishes every under shepherd is their share in the very same love that the great Good Shepherd has for his sheep. A love that shows itself in their willingness to expend themselves on behalf of the sheep. In the second place, the great truth that comes out in Jesus' word here is that Jesus gives his life for the sheep. That teaches the substitutionary, what we call the vicarious nature of the death of Jesus Christ. In his love for the sheep, he died for them. He died the death that they otherwise must endure. He dies the death that they deserve, not the death that he deserves. He dies the death that apart from his giving of his life, they will surely die if he does not lay down his life for them. In their stead, in place of them, as substitute for them, he lays down his own life. That's the figure here in the passage of a shepherd dying in order to save his sheep. If he does not die, the sheep will certainly die. If he does not lay down his life, they certainly will be killed, destroyed, and scattered. And in the third place, Jesus teaches in the text, by his word here, the ongoing and saving benefit enjoyed by the sheep on account of his laying down of his life. That comes out in a striking way in the text. That comes out when Jesus says in the text, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, he does not say, gave his life for the sheep, gave it either from the point of view of God's eternal counsel that has determined Jesus' death, decreed his death for the sheep, or from our perspective today, since Jesus' death was in the past, some 2,000 years ago, we might say that Jesus gave his life. Neither does he say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd shall give his life. From the perspective of that moment in time when Jesus spoke these words, his death was yet future. He had not yet actually died, but he would certainly die nonetheless. Jesus does not use the future tense here. He does not say, he shall die. He shall give his life. But very strikingly, he uses the present tense. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth or gives his life for the sheep. He speaks in the present, and he speaks in the present not because throughout history there is going to be a repetition of the death of Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the Mass, the sacrament of the Holy Altar, as it is in the Roman Catholic Church. That's a blasphemy. That's a fundamental denial of every aspect of Jesus' teaching in the words of our text for tonight. Not that, but Jesus uses the present tense in order to underscore the ongoing saving benefit of his death for his people in every age. From that point of view, he gives his life. From the point of view of our enjoying the benefits of his death as much as the disciples to whom he first spoke these words, from that viewpoint, he gives his life. That life that he gives for the sheep. Who are they for whom he died? Who are they on behalf of whom the Son of God, as the great Good Shepherd, gives his life? Jesus answers those questions very clearly in the text. He answers those questions when he says that the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus teaches that he dies for a definite number of individuals, a limited number of persons. He did not die for an indefinite number of persons, sinners generally and as a group, all sinners, every sinner, but for no sinners in particular. That was not the nature of the saving death of the Good Shepherd. Rather, the Good Shepherd gives his life for some only, for those whom he describes in the text as his sheep. The sheep. That's definite. That's a particular group of people. Jesus gave his life not for every human being, but only for those human beings who belong to the category sheep. The sheep. My sheep. Clearly, Jesus does not lay down his life for every human being. Sheep in the text does not include every single human being, every man, woman, or child ever born into this world. This is not Jesus' teaching in the passage. His teaching in the passage is the very opposite. Clearly, the context demands that. It is clear from the context that Jesus did not lay down his life for those whom he describes in verse 8 as thieves and robbers. In the first part of verse 12, he speaks of those hirelings, those false and faithless shepherds. And in the end of the verse, he speaks of wolves. Jesus did not give his life for the thieves and hirelings, nor for the wolves. And in fact, Jesus will become very pointed in verse 26 of the chapter when he says to certain in his audience, "Ye are not of my sheep." How can anyone get around the clear teaching of Jesus in the text that he lays down his life only for the sheep, and not all men belong to Jesus' sheep? Since he has himself said that he lays down his life for the sheep, he teaches very clearly that his death was a limited atonement or a particular redemption. In the end, the answer to the question, for whom Did Jesus lay down his life? Is the elect and the elect alone. They are the sheep. They are Jesus' sheep, in distinction from all the other sheep. Jesus' sheep are God's own elect. And that is consistent with the figure of the text. Even the children in church tonight know that sheep are not the sheep of a certain shepherd because of something that they have done. Because the sheep have gotten together and taken a vote and decided that so-and-so will be their shepherd. And in this case, Jesus, the good shepherd. The sheep, of course, have nothing to do with the determination of the shepherd. Exactly because they are sheep. They belong to the shepherd. It is the shepherd that has done everything necessary to make them his sheep. He has determined that they and they alone will be his sheep. He has determined that they alone will benefit from his saving work as their shepherd. He has chosen them to be his sheep. They have not chosen him to be their shepherd. That's election. Gracious, eternal, divine election. And that's exactly what Jesus goes on to make clear at the beginning of verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, gave the sheep to me. That's election, very clearly. Not only does Jesus, by his teaching in the text, teach that he gives his life for some only for the sheep, but he also limits those for whom he laid down his life by the efficacy of his saving work as the good shepherd. That is, Jesus teaches clearly in the text on account of what he says about his death, besides the fact that he says in the text, for the sheep, by what he says about his death and the salvation of his death. Jesus teaches clearly that not all men are saved by him, but some men only. The effect of Jesus' death, that's the efficacy of it, the effect of Jesus' death was not that all men benefited from that death, were saved by that death, participated in the enjoyment of that death. His death, you see, was not only a limited atonement, it was a limited atonement, real atonement for all for whom he died. Every single one of the sheep for whom he died are saved by his death for them. His death paid in full for all their sins, the guilt of all their sins. His death fully satisfied the righteousness and the justice of God for everybody for whom he died. For you see, he gave his life for the sheep. Not only does that teach limited atonement, but it teaches that Jesus' death was in fact a real atonement. It was for the sheep, for their benefit, now and everlastingly. His death accomplished something, really accomplished something. It did not merely make possible something, but it accomplished something for all for whom he died. And Jesus teaches that clearly about his death in the passage. In verse 10, he says that through him the sheep have life and have it more abundantly. All the sheep for whom he dies have life and have it more abundantly. In verse 28, he teaches that all those for whom he dies, without a single exception, shall have eternal life. It ought to be plain to us that these benefits are not the benefits enjoyed by every single human being, but by some only. They alone are the ones for whom Jesus died. His death does not avail for all men. That's the popular teaching today, that Christ died for every man, and that Christ is willing, and by his death expressed his willingness to save every human being. And that stands in flat contradiction to Jesus' clear teaching in the text. And that is a fundamental denial, too, of the goodness of the good shepherd. Every one of the sheep for whom he lays down his life is saved by that death, saved now and saved eternally. And only they who are his sheep enjoy such benefit. Giving his life for the sheep, Jesus' death is a benefit. It profits the sheep. That benefit is, first of all, deliverance from death. Because he dies for us, we do not have to die. That is, we do not have to die, and we do not die the death that he died. Death under the wrath of God. Death under the torments of hell and of everlasting condemnation. That's what we deserve, every one of us by nature. And that will surely happen to us apart from the saving death of the Good Shepherd. But because the Good Shepherd laid down his life for us, we are delivered from death. Delivering us from death, the great benefit of the Good Shepherd's giving of himself, is life. Life abundant for all for whom he died. Eternal life Life under the blessing of God. Life with God in His covenant. Exactly because He died and endured God's wrath, the benefit of His death for us is God's favor, His love for us now and everlastingly. That life we enjoy, and that life is nourished in us under the preaching of the Holy Gospel. For in the preaching of the Gospel, Christ, the great Good Shepherd, feeds us, His sheep. And under the preaching of the Holy Gospel, He defends us against our enemies. Under the preaching of the Holy Gospel, He enriches our life, enriching it with His own life. And in the preaching of the Holy Gospel, He reminds us, week after week, service after service, that we are His sheep, and reassures us of His love for us, His care over us, and His provision on our behalf. Through the preaching of the Holy Gospel, the sheep hear His voice, the very voice of the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for them. That's verse 27. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Hear My voice in the preaching of the Gospel. Hearing His voice, we obey His word. Hearing His voice, we keep His commandments. No one else will we follow. No other voice will we give heed to. One voice will we hear and obey all our life long, until that voice summons us to Himself. His voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. Why His voice? Only His voice? Because His voice is the voice of the One who laid down His life for us, His sheep. Amen. Father in heaven, we give thanks for Thy word, for the truth of Thy word, for the comfort of Thy word. And grant, Heavenly Father, that we may live in the joy of the word of the Gospel that we have heard tonight. We thank Thee for our Good Shepherd who has given His life for us. Now may we hear His voice and follow after Him. No other voice but His alone. Dismiss us with Thy blessing and pardon graciously our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.